Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty a Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and this is a Thursday trade edition. We have a special guest. Subscriber Jack is here with us, and we're going to do 10 trades. We're going to do 10 trades on Thursday. A lot of trades here opening up, bunch of volume, good uptick. We've added more leagues as well. So lots of stuff here going on. Even in the last day, there's dozens of them in the last over the weekend here. We're recording Sunday night. So lots of good stuff here going on. All right, Jack, here we go. Right off the bat, Jared Goff, Christian Watson, and a 2023 first for Devontae Parker and Travis Kelce. By way of reference, this appears to be a safe leagues format. It is a safe leagues format. It's super. All these trades will be super flex, but this is start one tight end, but two PPR for tight end. So Goff, Christian Watson, and a first for Parker and Kelce.
Pretty easily the Kelce side for me there. I think he has upside in the format that just isn't matched by anyone outside of the elites of the QB position. So I think he runs laps around Goff, Watson. Even if that 2023 first is on the early side, I still don't think anyone gets you close to the upside that Kelce has.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny because I just looked in the real draft position, and he's at 311 is where his tight end premium ADP is over the past month. And he's at basically later in the fourth round. If you look at all the drafts, all the super flex drafts, so the non-premium ones, is he's fallen into the fifth round. And you just compare that to where Goff is going. It's in the 12th round where Watson's going. It's in the 10th round, you know? So if you just sort of work out the math for a second, you're looking at a 10th, a 12th, and I don't know, something in the range of like a fifth for Kelce, who in fairness is a target player for us sort of at that late third round cost. So we think he's probably undervalued. And again, in the format, he's a top 30 guy. So you feel confident sort of giving that first. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a pretty clear one. I think it's interesting. I think the Christian Watson angle over the next month is going to be like one of the more interesting buys, and we're already seeing it. So I think that was maybe the most interesting part of this deal again. And there's a non-zero chance that Devontae Parker is the wide receiver one for New England, which I don't know how valuable that'll be, but I don't think that's a dead roster spot either. All right, next one here, we got Breece Hall, Michael Gallup, Hunter Henry, and 404. And then on the other side, we've got J.K. Dobbins, Amari Cooper, Darren Waller, and 407. This is basically stock, half PPR, nothing else really of note roster-wise.
You know, I think I have to go with the Hall side. It is pretty close, but I was leaning initially towards the Waller side, but given that there's no significant premium for tight ends, I think Hall is the best asset in the deal by quite some margin. Yeah. I personally am lower than consensus on J.K. Dobbins. I don't see his path to 200 carries and or 50 catches. He's a guy that is a pretty strong pivot for me. I do like Amari Cooper. I like him considerably more than Michael Gallup. But I think there's a lot of uncertainty currently with Watson. I think Breece Hall is the best player in the deal.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too is I was actually looking at the Hunter Henry profile. In a half PPR league, it even benefits Hunter Henry more, like because he was so touchdown based. It's not a huge volume base, but he's basically their red zone guy. It's certainly not Jacoby Myers. He's their red zone guy, and if that's going to be the case, like it actually brings him closer to Waller. Because if Waller runs up, 100 catches, he doesn't get as big of a lead in this format than he would in a juice format. So yeah, I'm with you on this, the Hall angle. And I think the format really hurts that. If this was two PPR at tight end, I think we'd maybe be having a different conversation. All right. Here's another one involving Waller. So maybe that's an indicator on some volume, some movement here on the Waller front. 111 and 310 for Russell Gage and Darren Waller. And that's actually in PPR too.
So for me, the way I look at it, I think Gage outweighs the 310 a little bit, but if you just set aside 111 for Waller straight up. And when I think about it, I think that's kind of the Christian Watson, George Pickens, Jahan Dotson, Sky Moore tier. Or actually, Sky is probably off the board by then, but anyways, just train of thought there. I think Waller outscores that range pretty easily and also tends to go ahead of them in real draft position as well. So I think the 310 for Russell Gage is also just a cherry on top. So I'm all in on the Gage Waller side there.
Yeah, this feels like a little bit of scare running scared on the Waller side. I will say, like, when you look at the name that popped into my mind, I think is if you look at it as a proxy in the last month, basically Waller's going at 802 for a non-tight end premium, and James Cook is going at 901. So that was actually the name that, as you were sort of saying, the name that I was thinking was the immediate name that came to my mind was maybe this is a James Cook trade. Sky Moore right in the same range too, like that. They're close. Kenny Pickett's right there as well. So actually, from a market perspective, it's interesting. It's close. Gage in terms of market cost smashes that again. Some of that's pre the Julio, and that's some of that data is pre Julio acquisition, but I still think he can beat that cost. So I'm with you on this. I just think there's both sides. I think a Gage is worth probably more than that, and Waller's worth more than that too. And I think Waller's got ceiling that maybe no one else in that range probably has. All right, next one up here is Calvin Ridley versus Romeo Doubs. And actually, this is funny because Ridley was a name that I was going to discuss with you in our strategy session that we did before this. But I forgot to bring up, so now we'll get a chance to talk about him here.
I'd go the Ridley side here, but my only reservation is that given looks like this is a safe leagues format, so you have 20-man roster, 28-man roster. Just hate burning a roster spot on a guy who's going to play the entire year. No, I like Calvin Ridley's profile, but he is going to be, could be wrong. Correct me if I am, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be 29 next year when he comes back off his suspension. I
Yeah,
think there's some reservations
he will
there,
turn 28 in December.
but still think either way it's a smash for a yet another Green Bay Packer training camp Cinderella.
Yeah, that's some of the funny stuff when you compare that to prior years. This is a close one in terms of market. I just wonder in this format, I wonder if Dobbs is just more liquid, right? And if he's not part of a bigger trade, I'm in a format where we do a split, and I've been talking about this in the group chat, where we do a split in terms of the first two rounds of drafts are in May, and the second two rounds of drafts are in August. So you get the benefit of some additional information, which is super nice. And especially in this range of the draft where there's some lower pedigree guys, you're not just betting on pedigree. That extra few months of information is really nice. And if it was a decision between Dobbs and Ridley, I think I'd go Dobbs just because, like, I think I can get something for him that is not isn't just him sitting on the back of my roster, right? I think he has, like, you could maybe pull a second for him. I'm not sure Ridley's going to do that. I guess maybe the longer term play would be Ridley in terms of him as an asset, which is like the key thing I'm thinking about is him. Like, is there a trade that opens up at some point in the next 3 months that he's more useful to me than Dobbs is? Or do I just turn Dobbs into a second right now? You know what I mean? Like, I think he could do that and open up the roster spot as well. So I think I would do Dobbs just because I think he gives me more outs. And Ridley's going to be like, hasn't played in 2 years, almost 2 years by the time he comes back. It's going to be really interesting. I wonder what the NFL market's going to be for him. That'll be fascinating. All right, let's go. We're going to move down a couple ones here. We've actually got more Dobbs as well. It's like him and Waller are out of control this week. All right. Let's go to this one. Matt Ryan, Keenan Allen, and Chris Godwin for Russell Wilson, Dobbs, Albert Aquabonham, and a second.
Think take the Wilson side pretty easily there. I think he's the best asset in the deal and pretty easily outweighs both Allen and Godwin combined for me.
Could we have just stopped this trade at Matt Ryan, Keenan Allen, and Chris Godwin for Russell Wilson, and we would have taken the Russell Wilson side?
Easily.
It seems like we just added on a couple of things that are worth like a couple of seconds. Like Dobbs is, Dobbs and Alberto, something close to like seconds, maybe, whatever, second or third, something like that. It's almost like you've added up another first on that side in the on top of the actual second that you got. It's just it's funny. You see these deals, and it's like, if you can play the long game on it a little bit, like, man, you can really fix quarterback cheaper than I think a lot of people think.
It looks like this guy was just going as long as he could as far as just adding on a piece on a piece on a piece here and
Yeah.
just kept getting the stuff thrown in.
Right. That's kind of awesome. All right. A third for Mo Alie-Cox and premium as well, actually. Looks like 1.5 per meme.
Pick easily.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Mo Alie-Cox, like every this is like a yearly thing that happens, and it just doesn't really do it for me, or for anyone really, for that matter. All right, KJ Hamler and Darren Waller for DK Metcalf and straight PPR.
Oh, I think the straight PPR got me because I was leaning Waller initially, but I hate to do this with wide receiver, but I think DK Metcalf has so much market value that you almost have to take it based on that, even though I don't see him putting up anything more than a back end wide receiver two finish this year. I think the name of the game, at least from my perspective here, is just to take the more valuable asset. Just plug your nose and close your eyes doing it.
Yeah, just hope for the best. Just don't watch on Sundays. All right, next one here. This is 1.75 tight end premium. So lots of big players in this one. Mark Andrews, Jalen Waddle, and Quez Watkins on one side for Cortland Sutton, Travis Kelce, Chris Evans, and a 2023 first.
Just breaking this out here, and this is just me. I think I'd throw Kelce in a first up to Andrews. I think that's a sufficient bump up. Maybe with Waddle involved, I think that's close. I still think I would go Waddle Andrews, although it is a little close for me.
Yeah, it has a little two-way go on one side of it, right? Like going, and this is interesting. I've toyed around with the idea of Kelce a little bit as like a, would you rather? He's kind of like the perfect fix for a contending team. He's not as expensive as some of the other guys, and he's maybe more productive than a guy. I'm not saying he's necessarily more productive than Andrews, but I would bet he's going to be more productive than Pitts is this year, and he's cheaper. So it's interesting. You're kind of catching a middle as well as that first. You're kind of going, there's some two-way go action to it. I think Waddle's better than Sutton. I wonder if that's close at the end of the year. Like there's a scenario where Sutton can smash and Waddle kind of middles and that's close. I think I'm with you in terms of the Andrews one. This is interesting. I would continue to think maybe about the roster construction on this one too. If I could sort of, if Quez Watkins was, I don't know, Jamal Williams, something like that. We talk about how to fix running back, like making that pivot, making it launder a wide receiver in this trade would be one that I would think about too. I think I'm with you in terms of going Andrews Waddle, but this one I could come back to this one tomorrow and be like, I kind of like the Kelce angle. Like the other thing I would think about is like, all right, are you a little bit, are you borrowing from wide receiver? A little bit, are you borrowing from tight end? And are you going to use that amount that you borrowed in the form of a first to upgrade a quarterback? if you're gonna do that, like I could really see like this being part of like a two-part deal that actually looks like it really changes your range of outcomes this year. You know what I mean? That would be the other thing that I would think about in terms of like, is this part of a big, because it reeks to me of someone that's like trying to now spin that first off, because you wouldn't, it's not the most logical thing to do is to trade for Kelce and a first, right? You're probably using that in a different way. So I'd be interested to see what happens from this. So that was my thought there. All right. Next one here. Carson Wentz and a third next year for Tyler Boyd in a second.
I'd take the one side there, even though he doesn't seem like he's off to the greatest start in Washington, given the training camp press so far. But I still think he's a little bit of an underappreciated asset within the dynasty community, especially in Superflex formats. You know, he did just have that four QB 14 hit this past season, even though Indianapolis was dead set on running the ball as much as they could. So, long story short, I like Wentz. I think that's a good price to pay, especially if you're looking for a cheaper way to address a Watson suspension or just build depth in general.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think even though it's like kind of bad, some of the reports out there, like you just kind of take the more, you take the premium position. Tyler Boyd doesn't really change your range of outcomes. Neither does the difference between a third and a second. And you just, what was your line earlier? Close your eyes, plug your ears, plug your nose. Don't watch. Don't smell. You know, you don't want to know. You don't want to know how it's made. Just how it turns out. I'm with you on that. Two observation, one observational one, which I think is really savvy. 205 and 210 for a 24 first. So that time discount, that's super savvy. I think we always talk about taking that future first, even at a discount, like that time discount stuff. That's a really good one. You're not going to do that probably for a next year's first, but 2 years out, it's pretty cool. All right, last one here. This will be the 10th one. We've got CD Lamb and a 2023 second for Diggs and a 2023 first stock PPR format. No tight end premium, if that matters.
It's got to be the most quintessential arbitrage trade where you get Diggs, a guy who's more than likely not going to outscore CD Lamb, plus the bump up from a second to a first. I think that's a smash Diggs side.
Yeah, I love it. And there's a good chance that Diggs outperforms Lamb this year too. Like he could absolutely outperform him, and you're getting the pick. And the best part of it is if you're getting the guy who's taking Lamb, if you're getting his first, like you bump that down, like you probably take some championship equity out of that pick, which is kind of nice. It's not a huge difference, but it is probably a difference. So yeah, I'm with you there. Another one. That's got to be a fake trade. There's no way that's fair. I saw Diggs went a little bit further down, but there's no way that's right. All right, cool. Well, that's 10. So we did 10. We got through it. Jack, I want to thank you for coming on. This was fun and enjoyable. I always like having a guest on here to talk with me through some of these things. And we got some interesting formats and some interesting players here. So hope that's helpful for everyone. Jack, again, thanks for coming on. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again real soon.